This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What causes evangelical Christianity to be such a threat to so many in the political world today? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gospel. And we thank you for the partnership that we have with other people around the world in proclaiming that Christ is Savior and Lord. And so today, as this message is proclaimed of God's love in Jesus Christ, there may be many whose hearts have been indifferent that will be converted, and that those of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ may walk faithfully with you until the end. This is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, one of my favorite books in the Bible is Paul's letter to the congregation that he started in Philippi. It is a book that we can turn to when we need a lift. It is filled with truths, great truths, that minister to sometimes our downcast spirits. Let me share one of these truths with you today. It is where St. Paul says in the very first chapter, verse 6, I am confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what makes a truth like this so wonderful, even more inspirational, is to remember that Paul wrote this inspirational thought from prison. Paul was incarcerated most of the last 5 years of his life. That is, his political freedom had been taken away. He lived in confinement. His life was controlled by others. Sometimes His imprisonment was a house arrest. He was in chains, and he was guarded by Roman soldiers. At times, this could almost be rather pleasant and gave him a challenge to talk to the soldiers about their relationship to the Lord Jesus, and also to others who just happened to pass that way and saw Paul there as one of those Roman prisoners. On the other hand, sometimes it could be really incarceration, behind bars, or even to serve in a dungeon. That's where he was when he wrote his second letter to Timothy. It is at this particular time that we cannot understand how this man can be quite as joyful as he really is. But whatever kind of imprisonment Paul was enduring, it was there captive that he came forth with these words from his pen. And I pray that the God, Lord, who began the good work in you will perform and perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. As you read through this little epistle, you find out that he used the word joy or rejoice 14 times. The great joy that he had was found in one particular thing. Oh, I imagine that there were many more than just one, but the one that we're going to center our thoughts on today was that the Church of Jesus Christ in Philippi was growing, and it was going to grow more and more and more each day. Now, Philippi was a very prominent city, and so Paul decided that he was going to go there and share the gospel with whoever he could. It was there he saw the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of people. Wherever God's word is held up, there Jesus makes it very clear that the church is going to grow. I will draw all people to me. And that was to happen even in Philippi. Philippi, as a city, had not been very kind to Paul. It was a leading city in Macedonia. It was a place where many people came to trade and to recreate and all of the other nice things of life. And so when Paul arrived there one day, he went down by the riverside. And there he met a group of people. There was no synagogue, I do not believe, in that particular city. He began to talk to the people about their relationship with God. And soon he was telling them about Jesus Christ, and that Jesus had come into this world, and he had suffered and died for the sins of the world, and that if they would only trust him, they would be saved. Now, I'm sure this teaching went on for a period of time. And when it was all over, here was a woman by the name of Lydia, a businesswoman, a seller of purple, the Bible says, came to Paul and said, "I want to receive the Lord Jesus into my heart." And so that day she received Christ, and she and her whole family were baptized into the name of the triune God. Now the church had been established, and perhaps others besides Lydia, we do not know, joined that congregation on that particular day. Paul stayed around there for a little while, and he had a rather impossible situation. There was a woman who supposedly had a demon. She, however, was a fortune teller, and she was servant of one of the rich people in town. They gained a lot of money by having her tell people their fortunes, and then they charged them for it, and now it was a good business proposition. Well, on this particular day, this lady, the fortune teller, was running around behind Paul and Silas and saying, "Servants of the Most High God, they are servants of the Most High God." And after a while, it became so irritating that Paul turned around and cast out the demon. No longer then could she tell the story of what was going to happen in the lives of all these people, and no longer would her master have this income from her services. So that made them very angry. And they beat Paul and Silas and finally took him to the magistrates and had him thrown into prison. So there they sat in prison, singing hymns, the Bible says, and praising God for all the good things that had happened even though they had been severely, severely beaten. About midnight, there was an earthquake that came, and the jail cells flew open, and the people were able to escape. The jailer saw that and was very concerned about it because he knew that if this continued and the prisoners got out of there, he would perhaps be killed himself. So he was about to commit suicide. He was going to do away with himself when Paul and Silas said, "Stop, don't do that. We're all here." And this led to a conversation, and the man asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They had been listening. He had been listening to Paul and Silas as they conversed about salvation in Jesus Christ. And Paul turns around and says to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Well, the jailer took him home, gave him a meal. The man and his whole family received Jesus Christ and washed his wounds. And then he must have taken him back to jail, as best as I can figure out the account. I'm sure that Paul also said to him, "You know, on Sabbath days, down by the river, you'll find a group of people who believe in Christ. They are the church. They are fellow believers in Christ. And so why don't you go down and worship with them, and we can believe that others join that group." So Paul was just simply thrilled that the Holy Spirit, who had begun his work in the heart of Lydia and a few other faithful ones there in that great Macedonian city, was now branching out to a jailer, and God alone knows how many. Well, St. Paul was on his way then, and he had a little trouble getting out of there. They were going to just suggest that he leave because they had heard that he was a Roman citizen and they had beaten him without a trial. And they were kind of in Dutch for it. So Paul, showing some of the sinfulness in his own being, thought, "I'm going to make it tough on these guys." So he said, "No, you had no right to beat me. You had no right to put me in jail without a trial. I'm a Roman citizen. If they want me out of Philippi, they got to come down and get me and bring me out themselves." And this is what they did. Well, it was under those circumstances then that Paul left Philippi, the church was established, and he went on doing his great missionary work right there in that area. And then one day he finally lands in Rome. And there in Rome, he is in this imprisonment. But as he sits there in chains or in a dungeon or wherever it might have been, he really, really rejoiced. What is it that he rejoiced in? And another part of our text today, which happens to be those first verses in Paul's letter to the Philippians, was this, that they were growing. Their partnership in the gospel. Let me read you just a few of these early verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all you, I always pray with joy. See, he's happy, and he's right there in prison. I'm in joy because of your partnership in the gospel. While he sat over in Rome, these people were in Philippi. They were telling the story that Paul had told to them, and others were hearing it, and the Holy Spirit was working, and without a doubt, the church was growing. That's a partnership of the gospel from the first day when Lydia received Jesus Christ until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Then Paul goes on and says, this is right for me to feel this way about you. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be sure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. In other words, he not only wanted them to be converted, not only wanted them to know Jesus, but he wanted, and that was his prayer, that they would continue to grow in that word, abound in knowledge, be stronger and stronger, braver and braver, more faithful and more faithful, and Philippi would become one of the great places where the people could go to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's that great story of that little church in Philippi that Paul was so thrilled with. And I'd really like to try to make an application in our day to what it could mean to us. Remember now that when I have these concluding remarks, that I am not talking about secular America. I'm talking about the church in America. When Paul writes his letter to the Philippians, he is basically not talking about Philippi, because as we have already pointed out, Philippi wasn't too kind to Paul. Now here is another thing. Contrary to what many people may believe, America, 2007, is not too kind to biblical Christianity. You may resent that, but let's see if I'm right. Maybe I'm not, so let me know. But I believe I am. There are millions of people in America who respect or tolerate Christianity. Others want a Christianity that is sort of culturally motivated. In other words, as our culture grows in different ways, and some of the growth is contrary to what is found in the scriptures, they want a Christianity that can take the Bible and either cast that section out of the Word of God completely or give it new interpretations that will justify our present beliefs and our lifestyles. In other words, that we will not be out of step with the rest of society, that we can be a good Christian on Sunday morning and a very faithful citizen of the community, accepting all of the ways of life, be they contrary to the Bible or what, and nothing really changes. And that's what we have a lot of today, a culturally motivated Christianity. But that is not very kind to the Lord Jesus, because you see, Jesus was not culturally motivated. Other people in America today would be happy if the Bible and all of the theological writings of 2,000 years, from the great creeds and confessions of the church down to the latest Christian novel, could be retired to the shelves of our libraries, where they would have a respected place in our traditions, but have little or no place in our thinking. That would not be a threatening type of Christianity. You could point to it and say, well, we've got records of what our fathers once believed, but we have departed from that. Others might say, well, let's go and take a look at our church building. And you'd go in, and they might even be having a service once in a while. But generations down the road many, many years could say to their families who came, this is where our great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers worship. Can you imagine this place being full on a Sunday morning? And they would sing their songs, and maybe you could have a song being played, such as we have sung this morning, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. All of this history that it could be. There is some of this in Europe today. The great cathedrals have become museums. But this is not being kind to the Lord Jesus. He does not want his church to be a museum. He wants it to be a place of worship. But let's not stop here. there is still another part of America who is enthusiastically involved in bringing the gospel to our communities, our nations, and to the world. And when we see that, whether we are incarcerated or whether we are free, we can say with St. Paul, we thank God for our partnership in the gospel. Now we have to go beyond our denominations. We have to go beyond our individual congregations. We have to go beyond our own self. And we go to the whole Christian church in the world. But let's say just to our own country. Great things are happening, people. I like to believe sometimes that the church has never been stronger in some ways than it is today. A few weeks ago, my wife and I went to early church, and then we went out to brunch. And on our way home, we were having a little ride around our town, and we passed the large Catholic church, and the parking lot was full. We went by the Vineyard Church and the Reformed Church and the Baptist Church and the Bible Church and the Wesleyan Church and the Lutheran Church. And I said, just look at the cars that are there. Look at the people. And if those preachers are proclaiming the gospel, and I know that many of them were, the Holy Spirit is at work. You see, we rejoice in the partnership in the gospel. We go beyond our own denomination, own congregation. Sometimes they can have their low points, but then the others have a high point, and that's the way that it moves on. Jesus Christ is present in our college, on our college campuses, as I have never seen it before. He is there, whether the college be church-related or state or private. Here are these parachurch groups, Campus Crusade, Navigators, telling the story of Jesus, getting large numbers of students, 800 to 1,000 people on a midnight, on a midweek, just studying the Word of God, going on mission trips, giving a clear witness of the faith. The other day I talked with a man who was a Christian you could see, and I said, where did you meet the Lord? He said, you'll be surprised, but I met him in prison. There, under prison fellowship, I came to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we can believe with Paul that he who began the good work in us will perform and perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. I sense sometimes that we often get discouraged, and we wish for the old days back, the good old days. But I tell you, friend, at a time like this, you ought to turn to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And there just hear him say that he who began the good work in you is going to perform and perfect it. And prayer is being made that we will grow in the faith. I have to get out of my little shell. I can become incarcerated there too. I have to get out of the little area where I am, and where I judge the whole Christian church by some little small part of it. I love my congregation. I love my denomination. But the church is much larger than either one. So let's remember that we have brothers and sisters around this old world who love the Lord Jesus. And let's remember that as free people, still free, to live in this blessed world, this blessed land of ours, we can rejoice and we can become involved in the partnership of the gospel. Amen.
Oh,
Father, we today thank you for that partnership in the gospel. We thank you, Father, that those who are set aside by sickness are a part of that partnership too. For from their hospital beds or wherever they may find themselves on this Sunday morning, unable to worship in your church, that they may be praying for the whole body of Christ, wherever it may be, in America or around the world. We are one in you, Lord Jesus. We only have one message, so give us strength and grace to continue on until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to support this ministry with a memorial gift. A memorial gift is given to remember a loved one or friend. Address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are thankful to all those who support this ministry with their prayers and finances. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.